I want to welcome every one of us, church, to Bethel Experience today. It is our Thanksgiving Sunday. It's an opportunity for us to come and rejoice in the goodness of the Lord. It is an opportunity to come and thank God just because He's the one who has kept us. There are so many people who have been part of the statistics of COVID death, but you are not one of them. And so I want you to praise Him. I want you to thank Him. I want you to appreciate Him because our God is a faithful God. He says, only with our eyes we will see. Only with our ears we will hear. Evil is not permitted to come near us. He says, even when the enemy tried, when the enemy will come like a flood, the Spirit of God will still be there to help us. And so I want you to rejoice because this month, it is not just a month of celebration. The Lord is saying it is a season. And that season for someone, it is a season of celebration for a lifetime for you. Oh, I said it's a season of celebration. Not only for a while, not only for a moment, not only in this month, but for a lifetime. God will cause you to celebrate in the name of Jesus. And I'll be talking about that this morning, season of celebration and laughter. Amen. Is someone excited? Is someone ready to laugh? Are you ready to laugh loud? Are you ready to laugh long? Are you ready to laugh over your enemy, over that circumstances, over that sickness, over that situation? You are going to laugh. You are going to laugh in the name of Jesus. Let's read the book of Psalm 126 from verse 1 to verse 3. Psalm 126, we'll read from verse 1 to verse 3, and then we're going to read the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 4. Psalm 126, I'll read from verse 1 to verse 3, and we will read Ecclesiastes 3 and 4 together. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Amen. It was what? Like a dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, among the unbelievers, people who are waiting to see the result of what your God will do. Then said they among them, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord will do great things for you. I said, the Lord will do great things for you. He said, the Lord has done great things for us. Whereof we are glad. Is someone excited? Because God will visit you in the name of Jesus. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And we're going to read that together, verse 4. We're going to read that together, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 4. Are we ready? All right, 1, 2, go. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. For someone who has been weeping, the Lord says it's time for you to laugh. Oh, for someone who has been mourning, the Lord is saying it's a time for you to dance. In the name of Jesus. Last Sunday, we were, myself and Pastor Mrs. were, you know, not in church. We were away somewhere. And the word of the Lord came. And I was blessed by that word. Praise God. Please, let's celebrate church. Let's celebrate that sister. Amen. And there's something that she said. There's something that she said, brethren. You see, the word of the Lord cannot be broken. When you stand on His word, God will always show up. You may not see it now. You may not feel like it. Situation and circumstances around you can be contrary to what the word is telling you. But the word of God is forever settled in heaven. He says, heaven and earth may pass away, will pass away, but a little, a jot, a tiny of any of His promises for you will not go without being fulfilled. Praise God. And so I want to encourage someone today that irrespective of what you see, what you hear, what you feel, I want to encourage you to choose to celebrate. And so tell your neighbor, neighbor, choose to celebrate. Choose to rejoice in the Lord, because he is your God, and it will fill your mouth with laughter. Celebration. During our vigil last month, I said it involves what? Praise, worship, singing, amen, dancing, thanksgiving, rejoicing, singing with, you know, the harps, with timbrels, all manner of instruments. Praise God. But then, when celebration comes with laughter, whoo, hallelujah. When celebration comes with laughter, that is another level of celebration. Now, let me put it this way. You know, sometimes we are celebrating, and you know within your heart, you are just faking it. That was what happened when Mother Sarah hosted those men of God, the angels of God, and she prepared porridge, soup, you know, prepared very good, sumptuous dinner for them. And they told Abraham, and say, Sarah, your wife will give birth. And she laughed within herself. She said, well, these people have enjoyed this sumptuous dinner. Why are they raising my hope? Why are they deceiving me? Why would they not just enjoy their meal and just go on their way? She was giving God reasons why the word of God cannot come to pass. I am old. My husband is also old. I am already past the age of childbearing. In fact, medically, it is not possible. But God is not looking for your excuses to do what he wants to do in your life. I said, God is not looking for your excuses. The God that we serve is the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above what you can think. You see, what this tiny brain can think, God is able to exceed to the highest of your own imagination. That's where God will start. And so, talking about season of celebration, you see, next to love, laughter has actually been described as the most powerful emotion humans can express. Amen. I'm not a psychologist, I'm a pastor. Praise God. But I know that when you are in the mood to laugh, when you are in the mood to rejoice, when God visits you with laughter, it is not something you can hide. Praise God. Praise God. It is something that will, you see, that laughter will stimulate emotion of joy, of peace, of happiness in your life. You see, when someone is actually frowning, according to the medical people, they are using more of their muscles, and the body will become more tense. Praise God. But when someone is smiling and start to smile and then begins to laugh, it relaxes the body. Praise God. It relaxes what? The body. That's why the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Proverbs 17, 22. The scripture describes laughter. It says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen. Let's read it in NIV or Amplified. A merry heart, when you are happy, when you are cheerful, a cheerful heart is a good medicine. Sometimes some of the medication that you use as a believer, it is because you believe that God will use that medication. You see, when your heart is cheerful, God will walk with you, in you, and through you to bring about the miracle that he wants to perform in your life. Praise God. And so, is someone excited? Are you ready to celebrate? Are you ready to rejoice? Because it is our season of celebration. Praise the Lord. And we're going to celebrate today. We're going to dance and we're going to rejoice in what the Lord has done for each and every one of us. But I want to say this, two things. Number one, what will trigger not just celebration now, what will trigger true celebration? You know, I said it earlier, Mother Sarah laughed within herself because of her situation, what she can see, that medically this is impossible. But what can trigger true celebration in the life of a believer? Number one is what I will refer to as salvation. Amen. Salvation. When a man is saved, hallelujah, when a man knows Jesus, out of your belly will spring forth true joy in the face of opposition, in the face of adversity, in the face of what the enemy thought they have done, their worst. The scripture says in Psalm 16, verse 11, Psalm 16 and verse 11, it says, you made me know the path of life. You will fill me with what? With joy. Where? In your presence. With eternal pleasure at your right hand. In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. When you know Jesus, there will be fullness of joy and rejoicing in your heart. It does not matter what you see now. The scripture also says in that same Psalm, chapter 32, verse 11. In the presence of God, when you are saved, it's only joy that is permitted in your heart. It says, rejoice in the Lord and be glad. Who? The righteous. Okay, let me break it down for you. Do you know that when we're talking about rejoicing, everyone, whether a Christian or not, do actually rejoice, correct? Some will rejoice because of possibly an earthly possession, a promotion, or, you know, something happened. It will trigger that emotion of happiness. But we are talking about true joy that comes from knowing Jesus. And when that joy is in you, it does not matter what you see. You see, that was why Job was rejoicing. Despite all that he went through, he said, even if this God will slay me, yet I will trust in him. Why? Because he is the source of true joy. As a believer, your celebration must be what? Continuous. Must be continuous. You are not allowed to allow the enemy to remind you of what God has not done. You see, when you look at your God and you talk to the problem, not about the problem. You see, most of us, we talk about the problem. I have this. But when you talk about the problem to your God and say it is written, this is what your word says, this situation cannot define me, God is the one that will give you reasons to rejoice, because those situations cannot define you. You have been created in the image and likeness of God, period. Praise God. Also in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 8, 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 8, when you are saved, you see, rejoicing, joy and rejoicing must be daily, 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 daily your practice. He says, though you have not seen him, you love him. You have not seen Jesus physically, you love him. Even though you did not see him now, you believe in him and you are filled with what? With inexpressible and glorious joy. KJV puts it, you are filled with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Look at verse 9. When you are filled with joy, it is the joy of the Lord. It says, when you are filled with that joy, you are receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Because that's the ultimate in life. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? But because you are a child of God, that enough should be the fuel that should cause you to continue to rejoice. And that's why the scripture says in Isaiah chapter 61 verse 10. Isaiah 61 verse 10. Beloved, your rejoicing as a Christian is an eternal rejoice. It says, I will rejoice in who? I will rejoice in who? in the Lord, not in the possession that you have. Because those possessions can be gone in the twinkling of an eye. Not in the career that you have. Because when pandemic struck, I know a couple of my colleagues that were graciously told that we're sorry, the job is over. But if your joy is in that job, that means for some people that will be the end of their rejoicing. And that's why I want to tell you, church, let your rejoicing be in the Lord. Let it be in the Lord. That's why the scripture says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, Philippians 4, 4, it says rejoice. Continue to rejoice. Continue to celebrate. Rejoice in the Lord. How? Sometimes. When it's convenient. When you feel like. Always. You see, for emphasis, if you forget, and again, I say, rejoice. Just rejoice in him, because Jesus is the source of true celebration. Number two, what can trigger true celebration? And I'm not talking about just happiness. No, true celebration. Number two, number one is your salvation. When you are saved, you have no reasons not to rejoice. Number two, what can trigger true joy is what I will call God's divine intervention. When God intervenes divinely in the affairs of men, oh, the results will bring about celebration, true celebration. Praise God. You remember the example I gave earlier of Mother Sarah? When those angels told her, you are going to have a child, she laughed within herself. And they confronted her, you laughed, said, oh, I did not laugh. You see, the truth is this, when God visits you, it is not something you can hide. It is not something you can pretend did not happen. In Genesis chapter 21, look at it from verse 1. Genesis 21 from verse 1. When God visited Sarah according to his promise, she gave birth. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. The Lord is visiting someone. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Verse 2. God visited Sarah as he had said, as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived against all odds. And she bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God has spoken to him. What is that? Those things that God has said unto you that you are holding on to, at God's set time, they will come to pass. Oh, I said at God's time, they will come to pass. Look at verse 3. The word of the Lord for someone is coming to pass. And Abraham called the name of that son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. What does Isaac mean? Laughter. The Lord is going to cause someone to laugh. I said, the God of heaven will put laughter in your mouth. People that were now looking at Abraham and Isaac, they were not calling them father of laughter. Even though Sarah laughed within herself. But when God visited her divinely, that laughter was evident. It was visible for all to see. Let me give us another example. In our text, in the Psalm 126 from verse 1 to verse 3. Talking about the children of Israel, we know their story. When they were in Egypt, they were oppressed for 430 years. But when God visited them, the Bible says, when God turned the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Not only that, look at verse 2. God did not just turn their captivity. He said, then our mouth was filled with laughter, our song with singing. These were the same people that would have to take excuse from their tax master to go to the washroom. When God delivered them by his right hand, their mouth was filled with laughter, their tongue with singing. Then all the heathen, all the people that saw what their God did, how God destroyed the power of Pharaoh in the Red Sea, they now said, they concluded based on facts, evidence, God has done great things for them. The Lord will do great things for you. Amen. The Lord will do great things for you. Look at verse 3. They say, God has done great things for them, whereof we are glad. What God will do is what will gladden your heart. Go down to verse 6. It is something that will gladden your heart, what God will do. It says, he who goes forth and weep, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with what? With rejoicing. When you are sowing your seed in the place of prayer, in the place of fasting, the Lord is saying you are going to come back with results. With results. And it will be evident. Bringing your sheaves with you. Praise the Lord. God's divine intervention, brethren, will bring about true celebration. There is a man in the scripture, Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 from verse 1. This man was sitting by a place that is called the Beautiful Gates. By the temple, the gate of the temple. But he could not come in because of a limitation. Praise God. And when Peter and John went together, they were going into the temple, they saw him. And they told him, silver and gold we may not have, but we have a name. We have a name. Tell someone, I have a name.
Have a name.
And what is that name?
Jesus.
What is that name?
Jesus.
At the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And what happened? Amen. He took him by his right hand, lift him up. Immediately, his feet and ankle bone received strength. Now look at the man that was sitting down by himself with no help. In verse 8, when his ankle bone received strength, the man stood up, leaping, walking, and doing what? And praising God. Celebration is coming your way.
Amen.
I said celebration is coming your way.
Amen.
Beloved, let me stop here. A lifetime of celebration, I repeat, a lifetime of celebration is what God has given to us in Christ Jesus. A lifetime of celebration. And so I want to encourage you to choose rejoicing. Choose to rejoice. It does not matter what you see. Choose to rejoice. Thank you, Lord. The Lord said I should tell someone. The book of Psalm 51, verse 8. Psalm 51, verse 8. The Lord said I should tell you that I will make you to hear good news again. I will make you to hear good news again. He says, I will give you joy and gladness. And you will not experience sorrow anymore. The scripture says, make me to hear joy and gladness. You have been hearing too much bad news. The Lord says, no more bad news in your life. No more bad news in your home. I will make you to hear good news. Thank you, Lord. In the book of Isaiah, let's continue. Isaiah chapter 65 from verse 18. Isaiah chapter 65 from verse 18 and 19. And we're going to rise up because we want to rejoice. We want to celebrate. It's a Thanksgiving and we want to rejoice in what the Lord has done, what he's doing, and what he will yet do. He said, but ye be glad and rejoice. For how long? For how long? I want you to know that this is the word of the Lord. Rejoice forever in that which God has done. He says, in that which I create. God is the one who created you. The scripture says in the book of Job 33, verse 4. Job 33, 4. The Spirit of the Lord has made you. The breath of the Almighty has given you life. Amen. The Spirit of God has made you. The breath of the Almighty has given you life. So, if you go back to that Isaiah now, the Spirit of God is what has given you life. So, as long as you have that life, how should you rejoice? Forever. Amen. Isaiah 65, go back there from verse 18 and 19. I want you to rejoice forever in what the Lord has done. He said, for behold, listen, he says, I create Jerusalem. The Lord says, I create you a rejoicing. Oh, you don't get it. I created your home, your family, your household, a rejoicing. And our people, everyone in your household, a joy. Amen. You have been created to rejoice. You have been created to rejoice, to be a joy. Look at verse 19. Amen. And I will rejoice. The Lord is saying he will rejoice over your home, over your family, over your household, over his church. And joy in my people, because you are the people of God. He says, the voice of weeping shall no more be heard in your life. Not the voice of crying. The voice of weeping, not crying, shall no longer be heard in your life. Why? Because God says, I have created you for rejoicing. Let's rise up, church. It is time for you to rejoice in the Lord. And let me put it this way before I stop. I said it earlier. What can trigger rejoicing? The first one is salvation. If you have not received Jesus into your life, you may not understand the joy that we are talking about. You may not understand the rejoicing that we are talking about. And so, let's close our eyes. If you have not received Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior, that will be the starting point. I want you to raise up your hand and I will pray with you. You want to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Because I want to experience true joy. I want to experience true rejoicing. I don't want to continue like this. You were fearfully and wonderfully created. Oh, why don't you lift up your hands and let me pray with you? Because the God of heaven wants to save your soul. And if you have been saved, if you have received Jesus into your life, I want you to begin to talk to God and ask him to fill your life with that true joy. I choose to rejoice. The scripture says rejoice. Again, and I say rejoice. Let your rejoicing be heard in heaven. Let your celebration be heard in heaven. Why don't you begin to pray and talk to God? Fill my heart with joy and rejoicing. I choose to rejoice. I choose to be happy. I choose to celebrate in your faithfulness, in your mercy, in your love, in your goodness. I choose to rejoice in what you have done, in what you are doing, and in what you will yet do. Thank you, Father Lord. In Jesus' name, we are praying. Amen. Father, I just want to thank you this morning. Oh, thank you for the entrance of your word. Thank you because you have encouraged us in your word that we should choose rejoicing over sorrow. Yes, we should choose rejoicing over every form of sorrow that wants to keep us down, that wants to slow us down. Whatever it is that we see now, whatever it is that we feel now, it may not seem as though we are experiencing, yes, what you have promised us in your word, but we choose to rejoice because we know, just like Job says, that my Redeemer is alive. I know that my Redeemer is alive and he will arise on my behalf. Yes, he will intervene in my case. I decree and I prophesy to every heart that is downcasted right now, to every heart that is troubled, to every heart that is in sorrow, that is in pain, that in the name of Jesus, the joy of the Lord will fill your life. The joy of the Lord will come into your heart. The joy of the Lord will come into your soul and will come into your body in the name of Jesus. I decree and I address every source of sorrow. Whatever is the trigger for sorrow that is causing you to weep, is it unfruitfulness? Is it any form of sickness, infirmities, or ailments? The Bible says Jesus was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace has been laid upon him, and by stripes we have been made whole. And so every source of sorrow in your life, from today, in the name of Jesus, you will see them no more. You will see them no more. You will see them no more. Over your home, over your children, over your spouses, over your health, receive joy. Receive healing. Receive wholeness. Receive wellness. In the name of Jesus. There is a power called the power of resurrection. It's that same power that raised Jesus from the grave. I prophesy and decree into the life of someone. Your case may seem hopeless, just like the dry bone in the wilderness, in the valley. Ezekiel said, Lord, only you know whether these bones can live. But yes, from what I can see, they are in the wilderness. It's an hopeless situation. But I'm going to obey your word and a prophesy as it was commanded. And the Bible says, bones locate each other. Bones came together. Sinews came upon them. Flesh came upon them. But there was no breath. And he prophesied again. And the Bible said breath came upon them. And they stood up on their feet, an exceeding army. I prophesied to someone. Every situation and circumstances in your life, in your body, in your home that seems hopeless. Oh, that seems impossible. Is it any form of ailment? Is it any form of infirmity? Is it any form of affliction? Is it an issue in your career? Is it an issue in your finances? In the name of Jesus, let them receive life. Let them receive life. Let them come back to life. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father Lord. Blessed be thy name. In Jesus' name we are praying. And amen. And amen. Praise the Lord.